is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Katrina Vandenhoven, the editorial director and the publisher of The Nation magazine, often traveled to Russia over decades. We're reading now headlines out of Moscow that we never expected to see. Moscow attacks revive old fears about Islamic State's violence. Putin says Islamists attacked Moscow. The casualty rate continues to climb. There are many wounded, gravely wounded. We're turning to the larger story of the contest between Moscow and Washington, between Vladimir Putin, the now fifth-time elected president of the Russian Federation, and the president of the United States, Joe Biden. Katrina, a very good evening to you. I remind you and myself and everyone, this is Dateline September 12th, 2001. 2001. President Vladimir Putin signed a decree declaring a minute of silence as a gesture of mourning over the tragic consequences of terrorist acts in the United States of America. It read in part, "The people of Russia share the grief of the American people and extend their condolences to the relatives and friends of those killed during these tragic events, expressing solidarity with the people of the U.S. And then it goes on to make a decree. That was then. This is now. Your excellent piece in The Nation, I recommend to everyone. Ask the question I don't have an answer to. Will the White House call the Kremlin? Will Mr. Biden call Mr. Putin? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, as you remind us of 9/11, in those hours after, I believe, Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, was the first foreign leader to call President Bush to offer assistance after 9/11 in light of the Russians' long ties with the Northern Front, I believe, you know, the wing of the Mujahideen. And that was something that was not exactly welcomed by the White House, but there was a long view that fighting terrorism, the anti-terrorism struggle, could be won through collaboration with the Russians, that there would be trust built if they worked together. But, you know, you said, John, something at the beginning about one would never expect this. This is the heart of Moscow. But I remember, as I'm sure you do, the hard line Putin used to pacify Chechnya, the Muslim majority republic that fought and lost two wars for independence in the 90s, 2002. And the brand Putin has cultivated is one of bringing stability, order, and security to the Russian people. That's Putin's brand, and it's been tarnished severely. And I think this is worth remembering, that there have been incidents, certainly in Moscow, Dubrovka, I believe, in 2002 in the theater, hundreds and hundreds of hostages, and rank incompetence by the Soviet Russian security forces. Gas used that killed many. And then, of course, Beslan, at a school hundreds of miles from Moscow, where the terrorists invaded the school, and that led to real retaliation. So we've seen these, and we now face this incident in a very different world. Ukraine war going on, no trust between the United States and Russia, though there was a willingness under the protect, the duty to protect rule, that Russia was warned of impending terrorist attack.
You make another fine point in your essay that I immediately identified with. This war in Ukraine is being fought by the least among them. Explain that, please.
Yes. The central issue before this attack for Putin, after the successful stage-managed election, was mobilization, more forces, the same problem, dilemma for Ukraine. But what has happened in both countries is that women, because their men are taken off, and rural Russian men are most likely to be conscripted. And a new wave of mobilization is broadly unpopular, according to independent polls in both countries. So the official position is that no new mobilization is needed, and Zelensky has turned back his military official who wanted more. But it is the case that this puts the burden on politically marginalized groups, the poor, rural poor, convicts, ethnic minorities, and those who in Russia seek large salaries and bonuses to those who fight. So we've seen it, John. I don't think wars are fought by the elites by the oligarchs in any country. So that, too, is as the war progresses. And by the way, the war has been going on at great strength while this is occurring. As you know, the drones and the bombs, both sides lobbying, targeting each other.
It immediately came to me when you published this piece that I'm one of the elite that got out.
Yeah.
I was not part of McNamara's 500,000. Do you remember that 500,000?
I do.
That was the least among us who went to Vietnam.
And that's the case in Russia. It has been abated slightly by the amounts of money that the government has put into ensuring that mobilization hasn't hurt rural families. But you do have, and this was part of Prigozhin. Let's not forget Prigozhin, the oligarch paramilitary leader. He had a lot of convicts in his teams and others, and he played on this kind of populist theme that it's the marginalized, the poor, who are paying the price. I wonder, though, where this heads, John. I don't have a keen sense. There are a lot of false flag rumors, conspiracy. It does seem that today the Russian officials are toning down the Ukrainian angle. And it is possible. I spoke to Barnett Rubin over the weekend, who's an Afghan specialist. And he, you know, this is fully possible that ISIS decided, ISIS-K, Khorasan, there may be other possibilities that they did come into Russia with other forces. But what he saw as the real consequence of this is the slowdown of normalization between the Taliban and Russia, which has been underway.
To explain quickly just my remark for the younger people, McNamara's 500,000 is a way of talking about the draft for Vietnam in the 1960s. And if you were in college or graduate school at the time, you were exempt. That is to say, it favored the people who were well-to-do and took advantage of those who were not. That was the McNamara 500,000, which Katrina's essay carefully makes the irony that that's who's fighting this war today. Katrina, a phone call can start a conversation.
Yep.
I think your idea is excellent. I hope the White House, reads your essay immediately.
I do think I was surprised. I don't know about you, John, that there was this kind of dialogue. It wasn't a dialogue as much as a warning from the embassy, but it was, you know, clearly to Russia, to the security forces. And I think any dialogue, and there's probably much more, I don't know, much more underway is critical. I do think if people have the time, they should go beyond much of the newspaper coverage, which claim that Putin was arrogantly dismissive of the American warning, because if you read the entire text of his statement, speech to the foreign security intelligence agencies on March 19th, he comes around at the end at length talking about the need to take this very seriously and not dismissing it.
Katrina Vandenhove is the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine, a columnist at The Washington Post. I'm John Vandenhove.